It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. Extension horticulturist Richard Giron and Linda Nave will answer your questions about anything to do with plants. On this edition, we'll focus on selecting bedding plants at greenhouses and garden centers, planting asparagus, and since the grass is growing, it's time to mow. We'll have some ideas to help things go smoothly. Call in with your questions at 1-866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa germinates just after the news. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Horticulture Day. I'm Julie Englander, and we're talking plants with extension horticulturists Richard Giron and Linda Nave. They'll take your questions about any plants you want to grow or grow better. Call in at 1-866-780-9100. That's 1-866-780-9100. Or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Good morning, Richard and Linda. How are you today?
Good morning. Just fine.
Good morning.
Well, the grass is growing, and time to mow, I guess, once again.
Yes, it is.
Give us an idea of some of the proper things we should know or do about mowing.
Well, mowing is important because it's something that we do often, and proper mowing is going to give you a nice, healthy, attractive grass. As far as mowing height, typically mow bluegrass lawns at a height of 2.5 to 3 inches in the spring. That's the preferred height. And when you do mow, never mow off more than 1/3 of the total leaf area. So if you are cutting the grass at a height of 3 inches, it should be mowed before it grows more than 4.5 inches tall. If you scalp it where you cut off too much, that tends to harm the grass, and it may take a few weeks to recover from that. And during that interval, you provide opportunities for weeds. Mm-hmm. They don't need much of an opportunity, but if you have grass that's recovering from injury, the weeds may invade the turf, and that can cause a problem. So keep the lawn well mowed. If you do mow properly, there is no need to bag or collect the clippings. Just let those filter down into the turf, and they'll disintegrate fairly quickly. Those clippings do not contribute to thatch. They don't. So the main thing is to mow properly at the right height and to mow fairly often.
Okay, so height and frequency. That sounds good. Well, thank you. We'll go to our first caller here. John from Corning is on the line for Horticulture Day today with horticulturist Richard Giron and Linda Nave. What's your question, John?
Well, I have a linden tree, a little leaf linden that has some rather large suckers at the base, and I'm wondering if it's too late in the year to cut those off.
No, I would cut those off as low to the ground as you can.
Okay, so, I mean, it's not going to harm the tree. The tree's rather large. So.
No, that doesn't. Some trees tend to sucker. You'll see suckers periodically at the base of crab apples and lindens and a few other trees, and when they do that, you simply go out there periodically and cut them off. That tends to be annoying, but there's really nothing else you can do.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thanks for calling, John. We'll go next to Ray in Mason City. Ray, welcome to the program. What's your question?
I want to know when's the best time to transplant or plant lilies of the valley.
Oh, they're a pretty tough little plant, so you could do that right now. They're just coming out of the ground, so you could do it now. You could do it maybe late summer would be another possibility, but they're a pretty tough plant. You can almost do it any time during the growing season, but I would do it right now if you could.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Ray. They have a beautiful scent, don't they?
Yes, they do.
But also
remember, they tend to be fairly aggressive. Mm. Some would use the term invasive. So you want to put them in a place where they can kind of spread and do their thing and not interfere with anything else. They do like shade. So if they have partial shade to heavy shade, they're fine. But they do spread aggressively, and sometimes you have to make some efforts to kind of contain them. And you can do that by digging or possibly using Roundup.
Okay. We'll go next to Terry in Cedar Rapids. Terry, welcome to Horticulture Day and Talk of Iowa. What's your question?
I've got a small garden in my backyard, and I've tried to plant, your usual crops, tomatoes and carrots and whatnot. Tomatoes do wonderful, but anything that grows underground, like a carrot or a radish, won't grow. Is there a soil condition that might cause that?
Now, when you say they don't grow, do they not develop properly, or they just die?
They usually just don't develop. The tops seem to do okay. The green part coming out of the ground seems to do okay. But you pluck it, and it's just a little tiny little baby carrot.
I wonder if it might be excessive nitrogen. When you have excessive nitrogen, that does tend to promote leafy growth rather than root growth. And so if you do fertilize, maybe cut back on your nitrogen fertilization. That may help.
Okay.
Also, are you thinning them at all, doing any thinning?
No.
What you might want to do is to give them plenty of room to grow is once they come up, go out and thin the carrots to about an inch between seedlings, and
okay.
The radishes maybe an inch to inch and a half, and see
okay.
if that helps, because what that'll do is open up more room for those remaining plants so that they do form a nice larger root for you. That's
okay.
probably the second thing I would do. And they like plenty of moisture because their roots aren't real deep for their feeder roots when they're small. So those are two key factors, too. But be sure you thin them. And you can thin them even when they've only got two or three true leaves on them above the seed leaves. So
okay.
as soon as you can, the better, because then you're not damaging too much damage to the existing remaining plant.
Now, I have a lot of oak trees along that perimeter. And I was wondering if all the acorn mess that gets all over there, would that affect it? Like
shouldn't have any effect. I mean, mm-hmm. if the tomatoes are growing well, producing well, that means the site must be getting enough sunlight. And so, no, the presence of the oak would not be a problem.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Terry. Good luck with the tomatoes and the carrots and the what have you. We appreciate the call. Linda Nave and Richard Giron, our extension horticulturist, taking your questions today on Horticulture Day. Call in at 1-866-780-9100. We'll go next to Gene in West Des Moines. Gene, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. I've got a question. I've got some snow damage on some globe arborvita that I have in a row. This winter snow got on top of them, and they've kind of spread. They've laid down on the side to side. Is this just too bad and I got to dig them out, or will they spring back?
How big are they? How tall are they?
They're the miniature ones. They're probably a foot and a half high.
Well, what you might try doing possibly is taking some old nylon hose or stocking and maybe kind of tying them around the base, so hopefully they would stay more tight, and
okay.
leaving that on for maybe a few weeks and see if that helps.
I thought about that, but I wasn't sure that would be a good idea.
Well, I would try that. Something that would not actually cut into the stem, something that would actually bend or stretch. And so
okay.
I would use like old nylon stocking or something and kind of tie them together so that they're more compact. And leave that there for a few weeks. Check them periodically, make sure they're not cutting into the stems. And then maybe take them off later on and see what they do.
Okay. That sounds better than digging them out. There's nine of them, and that could get expensive.
Yeah, and they're nice to have in your landscape, too. So if you can recover them, the better off you are.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Gene. We appreciate the call. We'll go next to Barb in Boone. Barb, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. I have a neighbor who has a walnut tree that's just been cut down, and it leaves a nice space for me to plant some. It's nice and sunny, and I'd like to plant some tomatoes there. Are the roots of the walnut tree going to be a problem?
I don't think it will be. I believe that material dissipates fairly quickly
okay.
Once the tree is removed or cut down. Now, I would go out there and till the area deeply,
okay.
and that will cut many of those roots that are still in the ground. But I don't think it should have a long-term effect. Once the tree is removed, I believe that material kind of dissipates fairly quickly. So I would give it a shot. Can't guarantee it, but I'm guessing they'll be okay.
Okay, so if I decided to wait till next year, then I'd probably be better off, but that could
definitely
happen.
Yeah.
With tomatoes. Now, there are other things that you could grow safely there, green beans, peas, anything in the tomato family, such as tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, potatoes, would be affected if it's going to affect them.
Okay.
And strawberries sometimes have a problem with it, too, but everything else is pretty safe to go.
Yeah,
okay.
Tomatoes tend to be the most sensitive to that material, so mm-hmm. if anything were to have a problem, it would be tomatoes. The other things typically don't.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Thanks for calling, Barb. Why do tomatoes have a problem?
don't know exactly, but the walnut tree does produce a chemical that tends to affect the growth of some plants, and for some reason, tomatoes are very sensitive. Now, tomatoes, on the other hand, also prefer full sun and a nice, well-drained soil. And so if you plant it next to a walnut tree, you have the shading from the walnut tree, you have this chemical in the ground, and the environment becomes very difficult for the tomato plant. So that material simply has a very adverse reaction to that plant. It's called juglone.
Oh, okay. We'll move on to Kay in Ames. Kay, welcome to Horticulture Day. What's your question?
I have a question about two winged iguanas. They're at least 4 years old, and they're about 3 feet high, and the rabbits girded a number of the branches. And one has about, oh, if you spread out your hand, that much green on one side of the bottom, and the other one has green coming up here and there on it to full height. And I'm wondering, is it better to dig them out and plant new, or to let them stay and see what they do?
Well, I would be inclined to leave them. Those stems that are girdled, where they have eaten all the way around the stem, those stems, everything above the girdled area, will eventually die. It might leaf out this spring, but if it does, it can't sustain itself and it will die later on this summer.
Right.
In response to that, the shrub will typically send up growth from below the damage, new shoots from the base of the stems, possibly new shoots from the ground, and so it typically will survive. But obviously it may be a few years before it fully recovers as far as getting full size.
Okay.
So I would be inclined to leave them and just cut out the dead and have them come back on their own, and they typically will.
Okay.
That's the nice thing about shrubs. They have the ability to come back. Trees that are girdled like a crabapple, those typically won't come back.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Kay. We appreciate it. We'll be going into a break here pretty soon. You're listening to Talk of Iowa Horticulture Day with Extension Horticulturist Richard Geron and Linda Nave. If you have a question for them, call in at 1-866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. She mentioned a windy iguanimus. That's a tree.
Well, the common name is burning bush.
Oh, okay.
Another common name is winged iguanimus. And it has kind of a flat area that kind of sticks out from the stem, looking like a little wing, hence winged iguanimus.
Ah, got it. Okay. Well, we'll take a break, and we'll come back in just a moment here with Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. This is Talk of Iowa Horticulture Day, and I'm Julie Englander, a guest today, Extension Horticulturist Richard Geron and Linda Nave, taking your questions about the plants in your life. Call in at 1-866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we'll go to Chuck in Coralville. Chuck, welcome to the program. What's your question?
Hi. I first wanted to say thanks. This is a great show. I listen every Friday.
Thank you.
And you guys do a really good job. Lots of useful information. And I wanted to, last year we had pretty bad tomato rust in the garden, and you guys kind of addressed it, saying move the tomatoes, move where you plant them. I was kind of limited in my garden space. I wondered if there was a plan B, something I could, because I'm going to have to go back in there if I want tomatoes.
Yes. Many people have that problem where they just don't have a lot of space to rotate. Rotation is a good thing. However, another good thing is to plant varieties that are resistant to some diseases, although the problems you were probably referring to were septoria blight and early blight, which are these spots on the foliage that eventually the leaves turn dark on the bottom, brown off, dry up, and it works its way up the plant. I'm assuming that's what you're referring to?
Yeah, it was. You guys explained last year that it was due to extremely wet conditions, and
right.
It really knocked my tomatoes for a loop last year.
It did, and a lot of people. So what I would suggest you do this year is twofold. You're going to probably, if it's the least bit wet, you're going to run into similar problems. Hopefully you've rototilled and removed all the dead plant material that was there from last year. That's the key, so you don't have the inoculum present on dead and dead foliage that's there. Secondly is when you plant your tomato plant and it grows, cage it or stake it so you have the plant growing upright so it's not sprawling along the ground so that the foliage isn't going to be coming in contact with the soil for that splashing and transmission of the fungal organism. Another would be you would want probably to give them plenty of space between the plants so that you get good air movement in and around the plants. So those are just a couple of tips that would maybe help you avoid the problem or delay it.
Well, thank you. That sounds good. I'll have to try it in the next couple of days. That's on tap for
the, I would say in the next couple of weeks rather than days.
Okay.
Okay, good. Don't plant them out too early.
Okay.
Thanks, Chuck. We appreciate the call. We'll go next to Linda, who apparently is on I-80. Linda, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Okay. Hi, what's your question?
I thank you for taking my question. After 40 years of living in our home, we finally decided 3 years ago to plant asparagus, and we did. And the first 2 years, the plants came up real ferny and beautiful, and so we were hoping to eat, well, actually last year would have been the third year, and we were hoping to eat it that year. Well, they didn't come up. I mean, just a little bit of fern out of a dozen plants. I probably have had two little ferns come up on the third year. So this year, I mean, I'm the forever gardening optimist. I planted once again, and I followed the instructions explicitly, and I have full sun. I don't know what could have happened. What do you think?
Okay, so you did plant again this spring.
I did.
In the same location?
Yes.
Okay.
It's really the only location mm-hmm. that I have that isn't taken up by other perennials and also full sun.
Okay, what variety did you plant?
I believe it was Martha Washington.
Okay. Well, one thought that came to mind would be they can suffer a root rot or a crown rot if the soil is poorly drained or wet. And we've had some very wet years the last couple of years.
Okay.
And I wonder if maybe the ground was so very, very wet that they did suffer some type of crown rot or root rot, and they slowly declined and eventually died. That would be a possibility.
Well, I did find some of the crowns when I was digging, and they were well-developed, but, you know, I could see that they were rotted.
Okay.
So maybe that was it. It was too damp, eh?
Well, it could have been. Asparagus is a pretty tough plant, and normally if they have a good site, they're not going to die out like that. So one thing that would be a problem, though, would be a wet environment.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then I could see the same thing happening possibly to these plants too, which is a concern. Hopefully they'll survive, but that would be my concern, that if we have a wet year sometime in the future, the very same thing may happen to these too.
Oh boy. All right. Well, I thank you for taking my question.
Thanks for calling, Linda. Good luck. We hope they return at some point. We appreciate the call. We've got an email from Brian in Cedar Rapids. He says, I have a Bartlett pear tree. This year is the first time it's flowered. It's about 4 years old. The closest pear tree, which is an oriental pear, is about 200 feet away. Can I force pollinate? By which I mean take a flower from one tree and place it close or in the other tree's flowers. He says, do I have any clue what I'm talking about?
Well, it's difficult to do. I guess if you had another pear nearby within like 50 to 100 feet, then the bees should do that on their own where they fly from tree to tree. But if you don't, then you're not going to get very good cross-pollination. And I guess one way of trying to do that would be, let's say, if you know someone that has a pear, a fruit tree pear, where maybe you could snip off maybe two or three small branches, flowering branches, put them in a vase of water, and then bring them to your property, That might help a little bit as far as getting some pollination.
Okay. All right. We'll go to James in Plymouth, Iowa. James, welcome to the program.
Hi. I got a couple of quick questions about trimming a maple tree.
Okay.
And a flowering crab. Is it okay to do that at this time of the year?
Well, we can. We typically consider the time when they're actually leafing out to be one of the poorest times to do it. We like to do it in late winter when they're still fully dormant. Right now, most trees are beginning to bud out or leaf out. And that is considered kind of not a very good time. Not that you're going to kill them if you do it now. You're not. But as they're leafing out, typically is not one of the better times to do it. So you could do it now if you wish. It's not going to kill the trees. You could actually wait and do it in midsummer when the trees are fully leafed out. That's okay, too. So you have those options.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling, James. Good luck with those. We'll go next to Mark in Hampton. Mark, welcome to Horticulture Day. What's your question?
Hi. I planted, I actually took a couple of gallon water jugs, cut the top off them, filled them with a high-quality potting soil, and I planted some heirloom tomatoes, a rather hardy variety, and I was wondering if it would be possible to just leave them in those containers for the entire growing season, or if I would have to transplant those if they'd have enough room in there.
The gallon typically isn't enough space unless you're going with a real tiny patio-type tomato. Usually a standard-sized tomato, is going to require about three or four times that volume for the root space.
So if I put them in maybe a five-gallon pail, it might be all right?
That would be much better. Make sure you put drainage holes in the bottom, though, because the excess drainage will rot the roots. Excess water will rot the roots. But a five-gallon would be much better. The problem you run into, if you the plant would grow in that little one-gallon container, the root system would fill the container, and you just wouldn't be able to provide the amount of water it's going to need to fulfill the needs of the plant.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for calling, Marcus. We appreciate the call. We've got an email from Rebecca, and she asked, I've got hollyhocks coming in whose leaves already look like they're eaten by something. How can I keep them from getting eaten up and nasty looking?
That kind of comes with the territory.
Okay.
It just is. They have a number of things that get them. They're kind of plants that we enjoy from a distance. When you look at them up close, typically the foliage has got holes in it, brown spots, et cetera. That's the norm. And so it's something that we use maybe against a barn or some other building, and you view them from a distance. And I typically wouldn't make any great attempt to keep them clean because it's very hard to do.
Okay. They're beautiful flowers.
They are.
Hollyhocks. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a break here, a five-minute break, but we'll be right back when we return. Richard Giron and Linda Nave will be here to answer your questions. Call in at 1-866-780-9100 or email us, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You're listening to Talk of Iowa. It's Horticulture Day. We'll be back in a few moments. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Horticulture Day. I'm Julie Englander, and Extension Horticulturists Richard Giron and Linda Nave are here to answer your questions about plants you want to grow or grow better. Call in at 1-866-780-9100. That's 1-866-780-9100. Or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We'll go to Bill, who's on the line from Apopka. Is that correct, Bill?
Apopka, Iowa.
Apopka, Iowa. Welcome to the program. What's your question?
I am planting peas, like snow peas, sugar snap peas, and I've read that inoculant is necessary to use for the seed, and I can't find any. Tell me what an inoculant really is. And
you know, you just saved yourself a lot of money by not finding it. You
really
don't need it. Peas and beans are legumes, and they used to soak them or inoculate them, dust them with a bacteria that will then encourage them to produce more nitrogen. Well, you really don't need it.
I don't. Okay.
No. Matter of fact, several years ago, I did a demonstration garden in which I tried it and compared the inoculated row with non-inoculated. Didn't see any difference. Good Iowa soils, you're going to have good pea and bean production without it.
Oh, good. Thanks. I had one other. I just wanted to talk to another person called in about trimming a maple tree this time of year. And I particularly was in a hard, talking about a hard maple, like a hard sugar maple. And I had heard before that in the wintertime, when normally like an oak would be trimming it, that you didn't want to trim them because of the sap run. But Richard mentioned that it should be done in the winter, or, you know, when it's colder and not leafed out.
Winter's still a good time to prune maples. Now,
the sap run won't cause a problem.
Not really. If you prune a maple like in March, it will bleed quite a bit. Sap will flow from the pruning cut. Mm-hmm. And that does kind of freak out some people because they see all that sap leaking from the tree, and their concern is it's going to bleed to death. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
It's not. So, but they will bleed for quite some time.
Okay.
Eventually that will stop. But if you prune them then, it's not going to kill the tree. Definitely not.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Bill. We appreciate
sure.
it. We'll go next to Esther in Foyden. Is that right, Esther?
That's Foyden? Right.
Okay. Welcome Thanks. To the program.
Thank you very much. I have two questions. I'm doing a volunteer gardening project with some third graders in the local elementary school, and we're going to be planting lettuces and radishes. And I'm wondering if I use a row cover, if I could speed along the process so that we could eat some of them before the end of the school year.
Well, considering the school year probably has been extended 3 weeks already with snow.
Yeah, I think the date that we have where we're going to bring the parents in is May the 27th.
When did you plant them?
They're not planted yet.
Oh, usually we're going to require about 35 to 40 days with those. So a row cover would help a little bit. Typically, the row cover will give you 4 degrees protection, a little warmer underneath. It might help a little bit, push it up. But I'd get them in the ground just as soon as you can.
Okay. And I was reading about row covers that there's like a medium weight and a heavy weight. It seems like the medium weight is better for...
There are several weights. The very lightweight one will allow greater light transmission, but only provide you with about 4 degrees frost protection at most. But with the lettuce and radishes, you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
The next level causes less light transmission. In other words, you're down to perhaps 80% light transmission, but you get a better warming underneath that fabric. So in your case, but I would not go with the real heavy one. You do need the light coming in there for the foliage. So the medium white would probably be your best answer.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
My other question is that I have, I saved my caladium corms last winter, and I kind of forgot about them, but I'm ready to plant them now. And I read Richard's publication about it, and I'm just wondering if I could plant them in the pods, and then I have a greenhouse. I'm wondering if I put them in the greenhouse, if that would be enough protection for them.
Well, that should be fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, because is the idea that they shouldn't get any frost?
Right. If you plant them outside directly, you have to wait until basically the danger of frost is past. And that's going to be another few weeks.
Right.
So I would start them inside where they have a head start.
Okay. But a greenhouse would be okay?
That would be fine. Or you could actually just grow them in a Sunday window, too, for that matter.
Well, I just don't have so much room in my house, so it'd be easier to do the greenhouse.
Thanks, Esther.
Okay.
We're going to move on.
Okay.
I just want to talk about one more thing on her row cover. By putting the row cover over her row, what that might help and speed up is the soil warming. It might keep the soil warmer and less cooling, and so the seeds will germinate and the plants will take off a little faster rather than the protection from the cold temperatures. That soil warming might be the best benefit for her.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Esther. We appreciate the call. We'll go next to Kathy in Rockwell City. Kathy, welcome to Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa.
Good day.
Hi. What's your question?
I dug up my elephant ear bulbs last fall, and I let them dry, and then I stored them in the basement in perlite. They're about the size of softballs,
mm-hmm.
and on top of them is the old growth. Should I cut that off or plant it with that old growth on there?
I would remove anything that's dead.
Okay.
I mean, if you have some dead growth attached to it yet, as far mm-hmm. as the dead foliage from last year, I would very carefully remove that and pot it up as soon as possible.
Okay. Okay. It's too soon to probably plant them outside, though.
Absolutely right. But they tend to sprout rather slowly, so I would start them inside so I have a head start on the growing season.
But I could just cut that. Because the growth, the dry growth that's on it is almost the size of the bulb.
Well, but if it's basically dead, I would remove that dead debris.
Okay. Okay. Just take a knife and cut it off?
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Kathy. We appreciate it. What are elephant ears?
It's a tropical plant.
Oh,
it's
okay.
A tender perennial.
Okay.
And the actual thing that we plant looks like a coconut almost.
Okay.
It's round like a softball, and we plant those in our potting soil, and we usually start those inside because we can't plant them outside until maybe mid-May or so.
Mm.
And it takes a few weeks for them to then sprout, so if we plant them outside directly, it takes a long time before they amount to anything.
Okay.
So we typically start them inside, maybe sometime like in March or early April, and give them off to an early start. But they have these big, huge, kind of arrow-shaped leaves, huge, very tropical-looking. Mm-hmm.
They look like huge philodendron leaves.
That's the elephant ear
comparison. Hence the elephant ear, right.
Okay. We'll go next to Larry in Urbandale. Larry, welcome to Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. What's your question?
Yes, I have a 5 to 6 year old linden tree, and so its bark is still pretty smooth, but on the west side of it there is a split in the bark and a lot of little white little looking nodules that are growing up and down, and I wonder if what I have there and what I need to do to treat it or anything of an issue.
Well, it's definitely an issue. I think for some reason an injury has occurred in the past on that one side. And possibly the tissue on that area has died, and now the bark has kind of dried up and cracked,
mm-hmm.
and you may be seeing some type of decay-affiliated organism growing on that area. So that's what I'm thinking what you're seeing. There's not much you can do. I would just wait and see how the tree responds. You know, does the tree leaf out nicely this spring?
Okay.
That type of thing.
Leaves out real nicely. So.
Right, but there's been some injury. Mm-hmm. Something has occurred in the past, maybe in the past 3 or 4 years, and now that area is showing the effects. Now, if the bark eventually becomes very, very loose, then I would go out there and very carefully remove that. Maybe take a sharp knife or something, maybe a pocket knife,
mm-hmm.
and very, very carefully cut off that loose bark. Don't force anything off that doesn't want to come off, but just kind of clean it up a little bit and let the tree deal with it. Now, my big concern is, okay, there's injury there. Is that injury going to continue to increase in size? And let's say it does over the next few years, where it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's not a good sign. It's a sign that that tree may at some point decline and die. But on the other hand, if that damaged area does not increase in size, if in fact the bark begins to grow back over the injured area, that's a very positive sign.
Very good. Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling, Larry. We appreciate the call. Linden trees are beautiful trees.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Talk of Iowa, and it's Horticulture Day. Extension Horticulturist Richard Giron and Linda Nave are here taking your questions. 1-866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We have a comment from Greg in Des Moines. He asks, is it too early to treat for grubs?
Absolutely. We have grubs in the yard right now in the spring. They're out there, but they're not causing much in the way of damage. As far as treating, if we want to put on a something before the actual damage occurs, a preventative basically, we could do that basically late June or July, and that would be terrific. That would be much better timing. The grubs typically don't really show up usually until late July or August.
Mm. Okay. Okay. We'll go to next to Jean in Osage. Welcome to the program, Jean. What's your question?
I wonder if it's too early to put crabgrass prevention here in northern Iowa.
No, it's not. I think what I would probably do is probably do that sometime, possibly beginning this coming weekend, and let's say sometime between that and early May. For northern Iowa, it should be fairly late. So at the earliest, this coming weekend would be fine.
And then I have a question. I have a little fish pond, and the there was water standing in it over the winter, and a lot of leaves over there. And the winter, the water is so brownish. Now, does that have extra nutrients in it for if I watered plants with that?
I wouldn't think so. No, okay. I would tend to take it out because is the fish pond going to be used this summer?
I don't think so.
Okay,
but I have taken a lot of the water out.
Okay, I don't see it will be a great benefit. No.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Jean. We'll go next to Robert in Pocahontas. Robert, welcome to Horticulture Day.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Okay, what's your question?
Yeah, I planted a rose bush last year. It was just, you know, from one of the depot stores. It's just, you know, a hardy variety. I buried it in dirt and some hay surrounding it and mounted it up. I didn't cover the actual extending limbs from it, but I covered up the main shaft of the rose bush. Would it be okay, like, should I trim those ones that were exposed this winter off and just let it go, or just let it go as is and unbury it?
Well,
the
first thing that I would do would be to remove any protective materials around the base of the plant,
okay,
whatever you might have used. And then I will go out with my pruning shears and remove the dead wood. Dead wood is going to be brown in color.
Right.
Any live wood should be green in color.
Okay.
And simply prune back to the green wood. And if there's some green wood there, you're okay.
Okay. All right. That's it.
Okay. Thanks for calling,
thank
Robert.
You so much. Yeah,
we appreciate the call. We have an email from... let's see, Roy in Rolfe, Iowa. He says, we planted several varieties of avocado pits in pots in the house. So far, very pretty and interesting little trees have developed and gone through stages of appearance. Have you any tips, and will they yield fruit indoors?
No.
No.
Okay, that's a...
They're actually a large tree, and they're kind of a fun thing to do, but you don't really expect them to bear fruit, no. You just kind of grow them for a few years and then throw them in the compost pile.
Like a house plant, they've got nice, big, fairly good size, glossy, green, bright green leaves. So they make a nice little house plant for a while.
Okay. We'll go next to Karen in Radcliffe. Karen, welcome to Talk of Iowa. What's your question on Horticulture Day?
Thank you. I have amaryllis bulbs that are done blooming now, and I always put them out in the summer and feed them. But... I have one pot that has two bulbs in it, and I want to split that and pot them separately. Would now be the time to do it, or would after they're dormant?
No.
Like
I would wait until you're going to replant them next spring or next fall when you're going to replant. Leave them just as they are now. Let them grow. Let them be vegetative. Keep them alive and growing well, like you said. Put them outside. Fertilize them now and then. Keep them wet. And then when they go into dormancy, let them the leaves die down on their own. Then when you're going to start forcing them again, that would be the time you want to divide them.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Karen. We'll go next to Elizabeth in Ames. Elizabeth, welcome to Horticulture Day.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been listening faithfully. I have two very healthy cherry trees that I've relied on for years. They've barely leafed out, but now they're even trying to bloom. Is that apt to be productive?
Well, they could be. I mean, things are beginning to break bud and leaf out and bloom, so they might. It all depends upon if they go ahead and leaf out fully, and if they leaf out fully, then they could go ahead and produce a crop.
Okay. I couldn't believe that there was already little white blossoms starting to show when the leaves were hardly showing.
Yeah, they tend to bloom before they really leaf out a great deal.
Okay.
And this year, because we've had some really nice weather the last few weeks, nice warm weather at night even, things are developing very rapidly this spring, and things are blooming a little bit earlier than normal.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
I look forward.
Bye-bye. I guess I cut her off a little bit too short there. I'm sorry about that, Elizabeth. We have an email from Julie. Not me, really. It isn't. Several years ago, she says, I got some roses. They apparently were grafted and froze below the graft. Now, whatever the rootstock was is spreading and taking over with not very pretty and very aggressive rows. When and how can I get rid of them?
Well, you basically have two main options. One is to simply dig it up, physically dig it up, and that may take a few attempts to destroy the whole root system, but just physically dig it up. The other option would be Roundup. So either one would be fine, but some of these plants can be fairly tough, and so it may take more than one attempt to kill it. So just make sure you're persistent.
Okay. We'll go next to Chuck in Dubuque. Chuck, welcome to Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call. I had a one of my kids got a little over anxious. We're putting birdhouses up one day, and I went out and noticed he put a 16 penny nail in my oak tree. I pulled it out, but is there anything I should do to keep that from hurting the tree, or just leave it alone, or
just discipline the child?
Don't let him do it again.
Well, we had a nice extent talk about it.
Okay. You know, one hole.
I saw the hammer laying there, and I looked up, and then I saw the nail, and I was couldn't believe it. But
you know, one hole is not a bad thing. It's not something that we want to do, but one nail hole is not going to kill the tree. So we just kind of ignore it and try to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Right on.
All right.
Good answer. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Chuck. We appreciate it. Good luck.
Right.
We'll go next to Nancy in Mount Vernon. Nancy, hello. Welcome to Talk of Iowa.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have this spring had to give up on my second attempt at a red bud. I planted one about 10 years ago. It took 5 years. It finally bloomed. And then I don't know, it split down the middle. It got hit by lightning and I lost it. So the following year I put in another one. And this is probably the fourth year. And last year it didn't look good. And this year it's dead. So I don't know if there's something specific I should be doing for redbud, or I amend the soil with good compost, and I've watered it, and I'm disappointed. It's my favorite spring tree.
Yeah. One thing is that if you buy another one, I would go to a nursery and inquire as far as where these trees were grown from as far as seeds. Redbuds are native from southern Iowa down to Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
And if I go to a nursery, I want a tree that was grown from a northern seed source, not a southern seed source, because that's very important as far as hardiness. I want something that is hardy as far as cold hardy. So I would go to a garden center and ask them if that tree was grown from a northern seed source. And if they don't know, then I would look elsewhere, because I want one that's grown from a northern seed source. And then as far as planting it, just make sure it's a well-drained soil, and beyond that, they're perfectly fine. But when you get to central Iowa, hardiness is a big issue.
All right.
Because we're at their very northern kind of limit as far as where they'll grow.
Mm-hmm. Super.
All right.
Thank you so much. I'll give that's good advice.
Thanks, Nancy.
Uh-huh, thank you.
Bye-bye. We'll go next to Tracy in Davenport. Tracy, welcome to Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. What's your question?
Hi. I have a bloodgood Japanese maple that I planted last year. It's about 8 or 10 feet tall. And the squirrels got in it last week and ripped up a big section of the bark. It doesn't go all the way around the limb or a limb. It's about a half inch wide and maybe 4 inches long. And it's a pretty significant-looking piece of the bark to me. Is there anything I should do for that? I'd rather not cut off the limb because it's a significant limb on the tree. Is there anything I should do for that?
The damage is limited to one side of the branch. Is that correct?
Or does it go all? More or less.
Okay.
That's, yeah, the worst part is centralized.
Okay. Well, if the damage goes all the way around the stem.
Oh, it does not.
Okay.
Right.
That would basically kill that branch.
Right.
What you might consider doing is maybe just temporarily wrapping that area.
Okay.
So the squirrel can't come back and cause additional damage to that branch.
Okay.
And possibly girdle the branch.
Right.
So you may want to try that. Maybe just wrap it for now, maybe for a few weeks, so they can't come back and cause additional damage. And leave it at that, and hopefully the tree can deal with it. It's not a good thing, obviously.
Right.
but as long as they don't cause additional damage, mm-hmm. that branch probably should survive.
Okay. I put a little fence around it, so hopefully they won't get to it again. But another question.
Well, we're out of time, Tracy, but we appreciate the call. Good luck with that. We appreciate it. We are out of time. This has been Horticulture Day with Richard Giron and Linda Nave. Thanks for their expertise. We'll be back next week on Friday. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. We had technical assistance by Rosalind Sixby. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Julie Englander. Thanks for joining us.